Accession number 28676, Mr. Jack Ball, Real One. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Ball?
Born on the 7th of November 1922 at, as far as I remember, my family lived at Row Green, Kingsbury.
Kingsbury, which is where?
Well, it's about 10 miles away.
The local, right. Yeah. And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
My father was a... When I knew him, he was employed as a casual waiter, and my mother was a housewife. He'd been in service most of his life, starting as a, I guess, a footboy or whatever they called him, to a footman, and then he was a valet, where he travelled all over the world with his employer, who was blind, I think. My mother had been a lady's maid. She was quite well educated, but my father was a country boy. He came from Eathorpe in Warwickshire, which is on the Old Foss Way.
Had he served in the war, or...?
No. He was ill all the time I knew him, quite frankly, and he'd been, obviously... I think he was born about 1878 or something like that.
So he'd be too old.
Yeah.
What was wrong with him? What illness?
Well, he had chest trouble. That's all I can remember.
Now... He was in steady employment. How many were in the family? How comfortably off were you? Otherwise,
we were very poor, I think. He came from a very poor family. I had two brothers, both 10 years older than myself, and a sister who was 7 or 8 years older than myself. So I think they had pretty tough time originally. My brothers went from school to the local comb factory, I think, which was making Bakelite combs. And my daughter, my sister, started work in the local shop when she got to that age.
So it was quite a tough quite hard going.
I was ignorant of all this, quite frankly. You know, as the younger boy, I led a fairly sheltered life, I suppose, in those days.
And what about your education? In Kingsbury, was it?
Yeah, Kingsbury County.
And what kind of school was it?
Which was a grammar school. I started off, obviously, in the junior schools, various junior schools. At one time we were taught in a local church hall because they were shorter school places. And then I went to... They built two new schools near me. I went to the first one, and then from there I went to the Kingsbury County School, which was a grammar school.
So you passed your 11 plus
all? Yeah, sure, yeah.
What kind of education did you get there? What kind of a school would you say it was for you?
I understood that one or two people went to university, but it was very rare in those days, you know. I certainly didn't know what a university was at that time.
Was it an old-fashioned school? Or
no, it was brand new, of course.
I mean the teaching methods.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, headmaster. A rule with a rod, reluctantly, I think. They gave you, when you got to about 15 or 16, they gave you an aptitude test, which I think I opted for libraries or something.
Which subjects did you concentrate on, or what were you best at?
I was best at history. I was a history buff, really. I think I passed in history geography, maths, and English.
This is at school certificate level, is it?
At school certificate level, yeah.
And what about the other side of school, sport or...
I used to play soccer for the school. We had a very good team. And I think I got my first job, basically, on that.
Was sport important to you, or was it...?
Yeah, I was wrapped up in sport, quite frankly.
Just wrapped football
up,
or...?
Wrapped
or
up in football, yeah. Playing in the playground, etc., etc.
Any big hobbies outside of school? You know, I used to make Boy Scouts or anything?
Yeah, I used to make model airplanes. And I belonged to a boys' club at the time, which was more or less filled my evenings.
Now, what was this boys' club? They don't seem to have them so much these days. What was its name, and what did it provide for the young man?
Well, it provided table tennis, things like model airplane groups. It was just a local thing, quite frankly. It was run by a gentleman who was interested in that sort of thing. He was very pleasant. And, you know, my friends belonged to it, so I joined it. And it was somewhere to go in an evening, quite frankly. I think it was only about once a week or twice a week or something like that.
Any other big hobbies? I mean, model airplanes. Was aviation a big interest for you then?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. What had spurred this on? What made you so interested?
Well, I lived under the circuits of two aerodromes.
Which two would they be?
That'd be Hendon and Stag Lane, which was the old de Havilland's thing. And most of the record-breaking flights started from there. And every year we had the RAF pageant at Hendon, which was a tremendous affair.
Now, what was it like? Because they don't do that.
Shame. Well, they had lots of set pieces, a lot of formation flying. The biplanes were tied together in those days. You know, they're tied at the wingtips. They'd been attacked by heavy bombers on a fort, and they would be firing off fairy lights, etc., to indicate anti-aircraft fire. The fort would be manned by airmen dressed in white sheets, of course. And it was sort of reflection of the RAF at that time, I think, who were running Iraq at...
Did they offer flights, or did you get the...
Did you
get the chance to go up?
No. It wasn't that sort of thing. It was... there were no private flying there. But it was a fantastic show. You know, all these blacked-up airmen running around in white sheets, you know. And they used to shoot down observation balloon. That's the First World War. You know, a biplane would come along and start rat-tat-tatting at it, and it would fall in flames, and the observer would bail out. So it was fairly realistic. And the fort would be bombed, of course, and would collapse.
Now, what about... were you aware of the First World War?
Very much so, yeah.
Heroes,
sure.
And, I mean, you know, the RAF side of it, or Royal Flying Corps.
Very much so.
Were they household names then, people like Manock or Ball, Bishop?
I don't think they were household names, but I knew of them because I was interested.
Now, how old were you when you got fairly good school certificates, but what was going to happen when you left school? We left at 16, would it be?
I left at 15.
50s, that's 1937.
Because I couldn't afford, you know, my parents couldn't afford to keep me there, quite frankly. So I had to go out to work. And
now, how did you fall on work? You said mentioned football, but what happened? What did you do?
I wrote to the... I answered an advert in the Telegraph, which was the likely thing in those days. It had pages and pages of adverts. Small ads. And I think I only applied for one job, and that was at the Motor Union Insurance Company in Albemarle Street. So it was a very posh address.
And what was your job? Were you a clerk?
I was just a junior clerk, quite frankly, and there were about four or five other boys there. And when war broke out about a year later...
Now, hang on. So you started, what, were you starting in 38 or 37?
I left in 38, September 38.
Mm-hmm. So what was like, what sort of life was it like in the insurance? What was work like there? How did you find it?
It was good fun, because I had about five other young people there. The typists were locked away, of course, or shut away anyway.
What sort of work were you doing?
I was just sorting letters and running errands, more or less, to the men there were... A lot of them were left over from the First World War. The bus man was, I think, a major in the infantry, or at least alleged. And quite a few of the others were, 40 or 50-year-olds sort of thing. They were ex-army from the First War. And so they were pretty grizzled and... terribly old, as far as I was concerned.
So you had the old ones, and then the batch of five or six young ones.
Yeah, that's right. And there were some 25-year-olds in the main who were sort of filling the broker positions. You know, they did the letters, etc., and I just sorted them.
Did you enjoy the work, or was it dull?
I enjoyed it, basically because it was an interesting part of London. So we moved to Berkeley Square after a while. So it was an interesting part, and you could wander around, etc., etc. And in those days, we had to the workman's ticket was ninepence, I think. And you could get a meal for ninepence, pie and beans sort of thing. So the workman's ticket, you had to arrive at your destination by 8 o'clock. So I left pretty early, and the office didn't open till 9:30. So I wandered around, familiarised myself with the district, and... it was very pleasant in those days.
Now, what about the approach and outbreak of war? I mean, what, do you remember that period?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. It was... Excuse me. We knew war was coming, of course. Hitler had been on the rampage for quite a while. And so...
what did you think of it? I mean, did you take a close interest? Did you understand it, or...
Yes, I read the newspapers at the time. I used to get a Telegraph every morning and an Evening Standard on the way home. They were about penny or tuppence in those days. So I kept pretty close to the mark. I thought, well, we didn't have any option as far as I was concerned.
And did you realise it would affect you? I mean, you're absolutely in the target age, rising age.
Well, I didn't think of it as that way, quite frankly. I thought, well, my time will come. I've got to wait till I'm 18 to join the RAF.
That was your intention, was it?
Yeah, well, yes, sorry. Yes, I...
We'll come back. Now, what about the actual day, the day that war broke out? What do you remember of it? I mean, what were you doing?
It was a Sunday, wasn't it, I think?
Yes, 3rd of September.
And the warning went, of course, as Chamberlain was speaking. And I don't think many people took notice around the place. In their ignorance, they just carried on quiet Sunday morning.
Did you hear the broadcast?
Yeah, sure. Yes, and of course it was more or less interrupted by the wailing of the sirens, which was the first time we'd heard that, as far as I can recall.
And how did you feel? What did you think? Now exactly come.
It's difficult to remember how I felt, but it was expected, and it was regarded as inevitable, quite frankly. So I didn't worry about it.
Now, what about the effect of what? First of all, what did it affect work? I mean,
yeah.
How did it affect work?
Once the bombing started.
Now that's a bit later.
Oh, sorry.
If you see what I mean.
It didn't affect work. Well, the older boys began to be called up. The 80, you know, when they got to 18 or 19. I was regarded as, I was the last one left, quite frankly. I knew when my time, my 18th birthday came along, that I would join up. And I think everybody else appreciated that.
Well, how did you cope without the effects of people going, I mean, you know, the five or six, so you're the last one. I mean, who did the work? Did they bring women in, or what happened?
No, they didn't bring women in. No, it all came down to me, I guess. We all mucked in, I think. I don't recall any. There were no other people engaged, and because they were all destined for the services, I guess. So they just got along. They didn't bring any women in, to my knowledge, at that time.
Now, what about air raid precautions? Did you have a shelter in Kingsbury? I mean, either a, you know, any sort of shelter?
No, we didn't have at that time. Yeah.
When did they come in? Later in the war?
Well, I think after I'd gone, they introduced what they called a Morrison shelter. I think it was sort of under the table, the steel table, with sort of cage sides, and the idea was that people get under this. The house collapsed around them, and they would be safe, hopefully.
But that you'd gone by then.
I'd well gone by then. Yeah.
Now, what about the blackout? How did that affect things? How did your mum and dad, or you, do the blackout at home?
I think they observed it, obviously, and they had black curtains and etc. I joined the Home Guard.
Let's talk about that then. Well, what about the Home Guard? Which Home Guard did you join? Was it just the Kingsbury one?
Yeah, the LDV, they called them in those days, Local Defence Volunteers. And we had an armband with LDV on it. And I
was that after Dunkirk?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, how did you join up? Did you join up straight away?
On my birthday. Oh, sorry, the LDV. more or less straight away, I think, when they opened it as the LDV, I joined up, and we just got an armband and went to, I was a bicycle scout or something, and we used to crawl around a bit of waste ground, pretending to throw hand grenades, as you say.
Did you have any proper uniform issued while you were with them, or did it not arrive?
Later on, yeah.
And what uniform did you get?
We got khaki denims and a hat and ultimately a rifle and bayonet and gaiters. And
what kind of training did you do? Was it just one night a week on training, or how regular?
Well, I think I used to go along most evenings to the British Legion Club, which was the headquarters at Kingsbury, and we used to crawl around, as I say, being trained by ex-soldiers, the old lags, I guess, being trained in trench warfare, or, you know, raiding enemy trenches, crawling around in the mud, sort of thing. It was good fun.
Any patrol work or guard duties? Because, you know, that was one of the main purposes of the Home Guard. Were you guard on? Did you have night patrols or guard function?
Yeah, I did one patrol around the village, I remember, with an old soldier who was, I think he must have been a Bantam Brigade type of thing, because he was very tiny. And he was my neighbour, so I knew him well, and we patrolled around. That was when we had uniforms, etc., etc. I don't think anybody took a lot of notice.
But you weren't put on guard duties on a reservoir or anything bridges?
No.
How serious was it, do you think?
Oh, very serious, I think. Yeah, sure. We were expected to tackle enemy paratroops, etc. So I think it was very serious. We trained for it, you know.
Do you think they were a serious military force, or if it came to it? I understand the serious intent, but do you think they'd have been formidable?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Not our local people. Well, they erected pillboxes at various junctions and corners, but they were sandbags, sort of thing, mainly. You know, they just piled up sandbags and into the shape of a pillbox, etc. And I don't think they would have lasted long, quite frankly, against the paratroops.
Did you train with the regulars at all, or
no,
with the army?
No, I didn't.
Now, what about the bombing would start during 1940? Probably around September.
September, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you remember of the German air raids on London or Kingsbury? I don't know whether they raided Kingsbury.
Yeah, they. The first thing was, of course, I was actually on holiday in Eathorpe, Warwickshire, and I travelled back to London. I heard about the bombing, and I travelled back to London on the back of my brother's motorcycle, and you could see the flames. You know, for miles away, quite frankly, the glow in the sky, etc. So I knew what was happening there. I joined in 41, wasn't I? So I was actually on holiday in June.
You joined in 40, I think.
In 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd only have a couple of months of that. I mean, how much damage?
I'm quite glad to get away, quite frankly.
How much damage was there in the area of you know, Albemarle Street and the other place where you'd moved to? I mean, how much damage in the regions of your offices?
Not a lot around there, I don't think, but in the suburbs there was considerable damage. Because the tubes stopped temporarily and it was difficult to travel, I used to cycle into work, and I could see quite a lot of damage, you know, houses down and that sort of thing, buildings down.
But not in Kingsbury?
Yeah, sure. There was a few in Kingsbury. We had quite a few bombs around, and I think there were a few fatalities in the village. Well, I know there were.
And any close escapes, or do you remember anything?
Well, you used to hear, because it was banging all night, more or less, and there were several occasions when you've heard a stick of bombs coming down, you know, and the whine, and sort of they dropped towards you, sort of thing. And the closest one got, I think, was about 200 yards, as far as I was concerned.
But you had no shelters still?
No, we didn't have any shelters.
Did they make you nervous, or make the family nervous?
I think it affected my older brother. He was worried about it, I think. Personally, I wasn't, I don't think so. Pretty solid up top, you know.
And did the Home Guard have a role to play in, you know, when there had been bombing in the Kingsbury?
Well, initially, they told us if the sirens went, we had to report to headquarters, but after about a week. This was quite ridiculous because the sirens went every night, and we got fed up with traipsing across the fields to the Kingsbury British Legion, where they didn't welcome us, quite frankly, because the old soldiers were more interested in pint and cigarettes, etc. So I think the answer is a bit negative there. But
now, what about your call-up? Unless there's anything else before you, you're not caught. You know, I'm not sure whether you volunteered.
I volunteered. 18, yeah.
So that's
yeah.
A bit.
I volunteered.
Now, what made you decide to volunteer for the RAF? It may seem obvious to you, but I mean, you've got an interest in aviation. We've already established.
Yeah,
that.
I'd always intended to join the RAF as a pilot. I'd hoped.
This is in real life. Whether the war had happened or not.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I was going to volunteer for the a pilot training. In those days, you got £400. After 4 years, I think. They called it a short service commission. And I knew a sergeant pilot who was killed in a crash, you know. So he was one of the first to fly a Hurricane. So that gave a personal thing to it.
How did you go about it? Is that what you did, still volunteer for a short service commission, or did you just volunteer to join?
I volunteered. By that time, the short service commissions were out of the window, I guess. And I went along to the drill hall at Edgware and was interviewed there.
And what was the interview like? What were they looking for, do you think? Obviously,
it's a long while ago, of course. they were looking for character, I think, I hope, and standard of education. There was a public school boy there. I joined up with him, and he had a very long name, Francis Barnett, something or other, you know. He was a public school, and he got a commission right away. He said he'd been promised a commission. I was just glad to be accepted, quite frankly.
Was there a medical at that stage, or did that come later?
I can't really remember. I think I had the medical at Uxbridge.
Now, what happened at Uxbridge? Is this actually part when you join, or is that where you join? You went to Uxbridge on 19th of November 1940.
Yeah, well, that was a fortnight after I'd gone along to the drill hall and had an initial interview. I think I had the medical at Uxbridge, and I must have passed it.
Anything else happened at Uxbridge?
No, we were just there for 3 or 4 days, and as I recall, and
were you actually in the RAF at that point then?
Yeah, I think I was inducted. Must have taken the oath or something, but it's a bit hazy.